So, welcome to our Project Server 2013 performance-related session. Just to give a little bit of background on myself, I'm Chris. I'm a tester at Microsoft. I've been with the project group for about 8.5 years at this point. I've primarily been working in areas related to server infrastructure, server perf and scale, and miscellaneous related topics. I don't typically deal with customers. This is my first time coming to a project conference. It's been very interesting hearing all the different types of issues that people have encountered with us in the past, or some of the more interesting solutions that people have managed to piece together using Project and Project Server. So this is all very new to me. I want to make sure that you know what to expect from this presentation. Mainly, I'm going to focus on stuff that we've changed in Project Server 2013 that you may need to care about if you've previously been hosting a Project Server 2007 or Project Server 2010 instance. I will briefly cover a few other topics as well. If you guys have questions that are relevant to the subject matter that I'm speaking about at the time, feel free to raise your hand, interrupt if you need to, but if you have detailed questions that require further explanation or a decent amount of discussion, though I'm open to that, I would prefer if we could hold some of those for the end. Okay? So, the areas that we're going to cover include major features that are new or changed in 2013. The major points here are single database provisioning, the introduction of the project calculation service, the fact that we finally added proper support for developer dashboard, which has been a good troubleshooting tool throughout the rest of SharePoint for at least another release now, and miscellaneous other service improvements, which seem like minor bullet points, but some of them are nice improvements in areas that needed attention. We're going to briefly touch on SharePoint Online-related considerations, especially OData, because there are a couple of limitations there that, although they are not strictly performance-related, you need to know about. And then, finally, I'm going to briefly touch on just some general performance tuning topics, although I do not expect to get very deep. So as far as new and changed features go, the biggest one that we've introduced is single database provisioning. So those of you who have been hosting Project Server 2007, Project Server 2010 instances, we used to have 4 databases per PWA site. We're now down to 1. The main focus here for us was making it easier for us to move to Project Online. That meant that since we wanted redundancy, we wanted to have the ability to work well with SQL Server database mirroring, we wanted to minimize the number of moving pieces. So those of you who are dealing with a large number of PWA instances may find that this works a little bit more gracefully simply because there are fewer databases around to keep track of. Fewer things to go wrong in the case of SQL Server database mirroring, fewer threads that SQL Server database mirroring needs to keep track of, things along those lines. Generally speaking, you may just find that this is easier to manage. There are some potential downsides, though, and most of them just have to deal with cases where people are heavily integrated into the reporting store. If you have workloads that need to run against the reporting database, you may find that you need to throw more hardware at SQL, or you may need to just have a bigger, more powerful SQL server than you did before, solely because you no longer have the option to spread the workload across multiple SQL servers. Another major thing is the addition of the project calculation service, which may have been mentioned in other sessions to varying degrees, but basically, instead of using an entirely different, entirely managed code-based scheduling engine for calculating projects that people are interacting with through the schedule web part or through status approvals, we now actually have essentially a headless version of WinProj, Project Professional, that is handling these scheduling calculations. This consists of actually multiple processes. There is a Microsoft Office Project Server Calculation Windows service, and then it will run a number of worker processes that are named skedengine.exe. What you need to know about this is that on any given machine that is running in the project application service role, has the project application service enabled, you will always see at least 5 of these worker processes, and you will often see more. we try to keep an idle pool of 5 worker processes around in addition to the actual number of worker processes that are needed for what is actually going on. In other words, if you have one person that is busy scheduling their project, another person who has just clicked on status approvals and is actually has submitted a status approval and is waiting for that to go through the system, then somewhere in the farm you have those 2 sessions, plus you have however many idle workers in addition. Another nice point is that we've integrated support for developer dashboard. How many of you have had any excuse or reason to use that in the past with SharePoint? So you might have noticed in the past that that kind of worked for the top level, the stuff that happened on the web front end, but it just totally broke down when you got to things that we needed to do in the project server application tiers and you got no information on any of our stored procedures or anything else that was probably slowing your system down. Yeah, we tried to fix that. So for the most part, stuff that is actually kicked off via interactions with PWA, including in some cases even queue jobs, you can get a decent amount of telemetry out of those through Dev Dashboard. There may still be some sort of edge cases where you don't get everything, but for the most part, you should find that we at least are beginning to return decent telemetry that you can actually use to figure out what's really going wrong. The nice thing about this is that it's less invasive than, you know, whipping out SQL Profiler and taking a full trace of everything that's going on in the farm. It's less aggravating than trying to set up an extended event session right off the bat. It's right there. You click on it, and you're able to use it. I'll have a brief demo on that later. And the other thing that's nice about it is it's kind of a universal tool. It covers most of SharePoint. So other miscellaneous improvements that, to varying degrees, are useful but may not have justified their own treatment. One major thing is that instead of constantly calling into the application server, in some cases, specifically things that if you had happened to hook a proxy in between the app server and the web front end were primarily on the PWA web service, a lot of those things are now actually running in process on the web front end. The interesting thing here was this didn't just move work around. In some cases, we were actually doing more work serializing and deserializing XML than we were doing actually making forward progress. So it was actually cheaper to just pull the business logic into the process, do it there, and not actually make the service calls. So we actually thought this was kind of a net improvement. We also used some tricks to streamline how various grids load in PWA. So it used to be in Project Center, Resource Center, and a few others, you'd navigate to the page, some JavaScript would spin up, it would perform some initial calculations, make a service call that then requested the payload for Project Center or Resource Center or whatever the grid happened to be. We would execute that service call, do all the nasty SQL behind it, return the payload, and then it would render. Well, we realized that by default, you're always going to get the default view that you had last selected last time you were to that page. And we know that when we render the page. So we actually create a sort of an asynchronous request in the background that's effectively hidden from the user until they call back and complete it. We have some policy around expiring the payload, but basically, the long and short of it is, we've begun actually preparing the payload for Project Center or Resource Center before we've even finished sending down the ASPX page to you. In some cases, where you're actually presenting a view that has a large amount of data in it, this can trim a couple of seconds off of how long you have to wait. We've made miscellaneous enhancements to the queue service, some of which were actually touched on in the last session, for those of you who were here for that. Things to expect. So per project service application created in the farm, we have only one instance of the queue service for that. We may only have one instance globally, but I forget because I am not used to testing cases where we have multiple service applications. This basically means that we no longer create a huge list of queue service instances running across your entire system and swamp it. Other changes are we're a lot more careful about asking the database whether there are jobs left in the queue to be processed. I believe that the default behavior that we used to have is that we would pull about once per second or something along those lines. We now only even try to pull in cases where we have reason to believe that there actually is data in the queue. So this was another concession, actually, for SQL database mirroring, because we were trying to minimize the amount of unnecessary touches to the database. We were trying to minimize how much we sort of thrashed through buffers. We were trying to minimize any potential for writes, because the queue also was very aggressive, or at least used to be, about writing heartbeat data back to the database on regular intervals. There are some minor file save optimizations from Project Professional, and I'm not referring to the actual transport between the client and the server. I'm referring to stuff inside the server itself when we actually go to write the stuff back to the tables. We've been sort of progressively moving to more efficient ways of handling that. So what we have was originally based on some stuff back in Project Server 2007, which used sort of ADO data sets and kind of just made this huge execute SQL type payload that's very convoluted, difficult to read, difficult to parse, and actually gives SQL a lot of work to do. We took advantage of data set support in SQL Server 2008, which is, I believe our baseline is now 2008 R2, that basically allows us to handle this data in a much more efficient way in many cases. And finally, the thing that received the most attention overall because of the push to Project Online was optimizations and page load. So just to discuss what we were basically trying to do here and what our internal goals were when we were working on this project, we were trying to improve the performance of page loads, especially on small or nearly empty data sets. And the basic goals that we had were PLT1, which is the very first load of a page that you're doing this on an empty cache, you've cleared out your browser cache, you're going to the page for effectively the first time. We were trying to make sure that you got that done in about 10 seconds or less under the WAN conditions that I've stated below, which were sort of used internally as a ballpark approximation of a coast-to-coast connection on the US. We were trying to achieve PLT2, which is the load of a page after you've already had the opportunity to cache the things that can be cached, in about 2 seconds or less. And then we were trying to reach PLT2 content ready, which is the state where maybe the whole page hasn't rendered, maybe some controls are still redrawing, but the thing that you probably went to the page to see, which we decided on a page-by-page basis, is there and readable. We wanted to reach that as fast as we could, and we tried to get it under 1.5 seconds in as many cases as we could. Generally speaking, although I don't actually have a slide that recaps how far we made it, but generally speaking, we got pretty close. What I do have, and I realize that this is an eye chart, so apologies for that, but this is something that we also did internally as an exercise to make sure that we were improving our SQL stored procedures and some of the things that we did under the that we did on the application server. We had a medium to large size data set that we had created, and basically we tried all of the common pages that usually load really slowly, such as Project Center with as somebody who can see a large portion of the project and who is subject to reasonably complex security rules. We tried things involving Resource Center, the Tasks page, and so on and so forth, basically trying all the different permutations. And we tried to look at the different inefficiencies that we were hitting in the SQL queries, processing in the app tier with the data sets, and so on and so forth, and we just tried to close some of those gaps as much as we could. Major areas that we wound up tweaking included some of the queries that we used to prepare the data for the various views for the grids, some of the security stuff that we do, and especially, I believe there were also some optimizations on PDPs to reduce some of the redundant calls to our security APIs, but I'm a little bit fuzzy on the details because that work was almost 2 years ago now. This is actually something that I blatantly stole from a presentation by my colleague Chris Boyd. And this is just a dramatization of about the kind of difference that we were shooting for in terms of how long it takes to load the home page in Project Server 2010 versus 2013. And in reality, it may actually be more dramatic than that, because oftentimes you don't even get to the point where it's beginning to draw stuff. You're just looking at a white screen for most of that, and then it all pops in at once. So we thought that this was a pretty good improvement to have. So briefly, before I move on to demos and other stuff, I'd like to talk about some specific SharePoint Online-related concerns that you may have. I'm not going to get extremely detailed on this because this is an emerging area. We haven't really reached critical mass on Project Online just yet. We've had a decent number of signups, but I haven't really learned a lot of lessons there yet. First one, of course, is going to be latency. I'm sure that's foremost in everybody's mind, and I don't want to beat it to death here. Another thing that you need to keep in mind, though, is that there are some peculiar restrictions that OData is going to impose on you, most of which are that, well, for one thing, the data itself is paged, so you're going to get a little bit of a latency hit there, even in the best case, simply from querying and requerying the data. The other thing is that, because in essence it does something kind of similar to the those of you who might have used the views on our reporting database, it does something kind of similar to selecting from those. You can construct some effectively pretty complex SQL queries there that you are more or less executing over and over and over again as you ask for the next page of data. So be careful with that, because you might wind up with something that takes a long time to run that is very complex and difficult to work with. And of course, this involves potentially large data sets as well. The other thing that you need to be aware of that is a documented limit, and I have the link at the bottom here, is that although you can indeed still create an effectively infinite number of custom fields, the amount of those that actually make it to reporting, that is, that you can actually get back through the OData service, is limited to a fixed number. In this case, the way that it's documented, and I'm not working in that area, I'm not necessarily going to be your best source for further detail on this, is 45 text fields, 45 text custom fields per entity type, with entities defined as project, timesheet, or a total of task plus resource fields. 150 lookup tables per entity type, same definition of entity type, and then 150 total custom fields of all other types. I'm just pointing out this limitation because some people have already hit it in building some really customized solutions for their customers, and that could be a huge stumbling block.
If you hit that limit, does it just not add the newest views, or does it sort of some other the newest thing?
It is my understanding that if you hit this limit, basically first one wins. So the last field that you added, you know, that finally kicked it over the limit, just isn't happening. So something to keep in mind. If you're trying to build out some complex solution for your own use or for a customer or whatever, one of the first things that you want to try is model the reporting end of things. Make sure you can make it work, especially with regard to some of the custom field stuff. Yes? It means that only the first 45 fields as defined there will even make it into the appropriate column pool tables in the reporting database. It will simply not be there. So anything up to that is fine. But once you go over, no.
So this is not limited to OData. This is for anybody.
Yes. Yes, this is not limited to OData. This isn't for Project Server 2013. This is specific to online.
Okay?
So the disclaimer here is this is not an OData thing. This is specific to Project Online. And this loosely has to do with how other versions of Project Server that you may have used on-premises do some stuff to the schema on the fly when you add custom fields.
Okay.
and we had to draw the line somewhere.
So on-premises only, on campus?
This is not an on-premises limitation for currently shipped versions of Project Server. This is an online-specific limitation. In Project Online. And yes, this is a limitation on how much stuff makes it into the reporting database. No, this is not a limitation on retrieving the data, but you can't retrieve data that's not there.
So they don't drop and recreate the views dynamically in online like they do in on-prem? But
in online, we try to avoid operations like dropping and creating views on the fly, because this is on-the-fly schema alterations, which are not necessarily such a good idea, especially when you're trying to deal with, you know, potentially thousands of tenants. Any other questions? So just a few notes on general performance tuning. I wish I could go deeper here, but if I wanted to do so, I would probably need a whole presentation on it. So as far as tools that you may have used in the past, Visual Studio VSTS is still useful. It still won't give you the whole story. You still probably want to use at least some automation of Project Professional if that's a major part of your workload. What you may need to know, though, is that it is unlikely that any VSTS test that you've written for 2010 will continue to work on 2013. For the most part, they will just need some tweaking. But at least my own internal tests that I used needed some work. Existing data population tools that you have, assuming that you were properly exercising the PSIs, will probably still work. They may also need a little bit of tuning, but hopefully a lot less. In terms of just general capacity stuff, SQL continues to be a big bottleneck for us on larger deployments. So pay particular attention to that when you perform any capacity planning exercises. We are really good at beating up your SQL server. Another thing that you may need to consider is that because of the things that I mentioned about moving some of the business logic to the web front end, you may not need quite as many application servers as you had in the past. But unfortunately, the counterpoint to that is that if you're heavily using the scheduling features that we enhanced, maybe you want to do this anyway. Maybe you want to continue to have a large number of application servers. But if you've previously dealt with a Project Server 2010 environment and are now moving to 2013, this is something you might want to reevaluate. We actually, yes? So there, we have some general guidance on that is published online, and I forget specifically what our official recommendation was. What?
2 to 1 to 1.
Yeah, that sounds believable. Yeah, and then so what we were shooting for was that for some of the moderately larger deployments, we were trying to support like a 4 to 2 to 1 kind of ratio, if that makes sense. The problem was in the past, conventional usage of Project 2007 or 2010, it was very easy to get into these lopsided kind of deployments where you'd almost want something like 2 to 4 to 1 or 2 to 4 to however much you could throw at your SQL server. So we're trying to get a little bit more in line with how Office as a whole would have us do things, because we're basically trying to be a somewhat better citizen in SharePoint farms that see use from things other than just project. This, again, was something that we wanted to do to improve our citizenship for online. But again, it had some on-premises consequences. So in terms of existing documentation, we do have a TechNet article that just covers general performance and capacity stuff. I also have a white paper from an internal lab that I did right around the time that we shipped, which, if you haven't read it yet, may be worth a read. It's not the most in-depth thing that we could have done. It was just basically what we had available for tests at the time. But it might get you started. I'm also currently working on, but I haven't yet been able to, publish the VSTS tests that I had from that. Again, don't expect those to be an exhaustive set. But if you're just looking for a starting point to kind of get your feet wet in testing Project Server with VSTS-based solutions, it's a good place to start. So let's see. I believe I have demos next. Before I move on to those.
Yes, question, please. In your testing in general,
Unfortunately, we can't test the wide variety of third-party applications that are out there, and yeah, our testing has skewed very heavily toward project server-specific blends, at least for our own in-house stuff, because we can control what we do. We can't necessarily control what the rest of SharePoint does, with the exception that there were some efforts during the 2013 cycle to make sure that things were going to be okay in SharePoint Online, and some of those did include actual blends that included contributions from teams across all of SharePoint.
Okay, how about just stick with just SharePoint then? So, for example, a classic deployment, it's pretty rare to only install Project Server and nothing else.
Yes.
So you're going to have BI tools, you're at least going to have the BI Center, you're going to have SQL reporting services, now with SharePoint Mode, for example.
Mm-hmm. For stuff that is done by the project group specifically, again, we tend to focus on our own stuff. For some of the overall SharePoint efforts, there were a couple of test efforts around that. They may not have been as strongly developed as they should have been, because those kinds of things have historically been done as kind of like, for lack of a better way to put it, a big documentation effort towards the end of the cycle. So in terms of ongoing processes, that is an area where I would like us to get stronger. Any other general questions before we move on?
Just about the mix of the type of processing that's been moved from what would have been like in 2010 running on the application server that now is getting run on the web front end.
Oh, I can speak to that. So things that we took from the application server that now run mostly on the web front end, as I said, it was pretty much anything in the PWA web service, but to put a finer point on it or to make it a little easier to deal with, most of the stuff that you will do in the course of using PWA in your browser, you will find is executed on the web front end, with the exception of operations related to scheduling. Okay? And anything that you do that hits a queue job.
Okay?
Things that you will not see that we decided to leave on the app tier, at least for now, include any of the, or most of the public PSIs that we expose that we encourage people to program against. So I hope that makes a little bit of sense. It's general, but... Yes. Did you have a follow-up? Or?
Just a general. So if you're opening a project, which is not a queue...
If you're opening a project from Project Professional, I believe that one still is mostly on the app tier.
And in PWA, same thing?
In PWA, you'll find that opening a project in the schedule web part is also going to be intensive on the app tier, but for a different reason.
So, carrying on the same line, if I'm just looking at a PDP page, if I'm just looking at...
Just looking at a PDP, mostly web front end.
Right. Right.
Saving a PDP, like a change to one, app server.
Right.
So, we're trying to move things in a better direction as far as citizenship goes, but we were kind of going one step at a time. Yeah? I'm not sure I follow. Project 2010 being incompatible with Server 2013. Yeah, I can't actually speak to that. I don't believe that there are any strong architectural reasons from a server architecture point of view. There may be different minor differences in file format. Yeah, there weren't any truly huge changes in database schema if you were to compare the two. But there may be some changes in how WinProj itself expects things to be represented. I am not the expert on that topic, unfortunately. Okay. So, just want to briefly demonstrate that Dev Dashboard actually works. So the configuration for our Dev Dashboard stuff is the same as you might have seen with the rest of SharePoint. You need to, I believe there might be a PowerShell cmdlet for it as well, but you need to run an stsadm command to enable the feature, and you need to configure the, I believe it's the usage database. But once you do, and I'm just going to reload Project Center here, you can see that we actually do have telemetry for this, and looking at the ones that are actually relevant, unfortunately, it seems that they got saved or imported out of order. But first, we have the actual request to projects.aspx, which you can see now includes all of our nice SQL queries. You can see that all of the MSP underscore ones are actually ones that Project Server was responsible for in some way, shape, or form. Those of you who have dealt with our database stuff in the past know that that's kind of our naming convention. And you can see that we actually have reasonable telemetry and details on the SQL queries. And basically all the same stuff that you would expect for any other SharePoint service. The other thing that's kind of interesting is you can see our asynchronous request here, the thing that I alluded to earlier, and the completion of that via the post to the web service. So the point is, though, that all of this stuff actually now pretty much works the way it's supposed to. So if you have any tools that are built off of the Dev Dashboard APIs or the REST-based web service, which I forget whether 2010 had that or whether that was a new thing that they did for 2013, those should actually work equally well with Project Server. So, and actually the REST-based web service that they offer is kind of interesting in that I believe you can actually use it to fish out telemetry for more things than just requests from the browser if you're so inclined, although it takes a little bit of hacking. And as a general theme, I just want to remind everybody that when you're using Project Online, tools like Fiddler are going to be your friend. So how many of you in the audience have at least used Fiddler in some way, shape, or form? Okay. The other thing I'd like to point, so I'd little point in rehashing that here then. The one thing that I do want to point out, though, is that especially if you're in the situation of needing to do load tests or something like that, you do have the ability to export sessions for load testing as well. Hopefully they've got that. So, oops. I just wanted to point out that you can actually export to a Visual Studio web test if you're so inclined. Generates a web test automatically. You may need to strip a whole bunch of stuff out of it, but at least it's there. So. I believe we've finished a little bit earlier than I had originally intended, but any other questions? Because this is your time.
Is this tool available
only for what?
For
which tool? Unfortunately, the Dev Dashboard is actually restricted to on-prem. I don't believe that there's any way to enable it online. So if you're supporting an on-prem thing, this is something you definitely want to look into. Yeah, it's extremely useful in test environments. Especially if you're looking to do something a little bit less invasive than whipping out SQL Profiler or what have you. Yeah?
I'm not a developer, so I cannot use the VSPS load testing tool. But I don't know what it is. Are there any plans to release like a user-friendly version of
that? I'm not aware of any plans to release a more user-friendly load test kit, if that's what you're asking. As far as VSTS itself goes, you can do some limited load testing without really knowing how to write code, but you are right that in a sense there are still some things you need to sort of work your way through. So it may not be the most user-friendly tool, but no, I'm not aware of any major effort either from the project product group or from SharePoint as a whole that I can think of offhand to release something that's already baked. I am, however, releasing a limited set of load tests for Project Server specifically. It's not comprehensive, but it does hit some of the basic scenarios. It is a VSTS set. It's not terrifically hard to configure. So the question was around whether we've done anything with the resource API, specifically with regard to relocating work from the app tier to the web front end. Oh, you mean whether there are major changes to the functionality of the API itself? I don't think they did anything between 14 and 15 that went as far as, you know, breaking the WSDL or anything like that, but don't quote me on that. I think that most things worked. There might be some minor differences around creating logins in the first place simply because we, or resources in the first place simply because we've become progressively more claims aware if you've had to deal with claims authentication. But I don't know how deep that particular hole goes. Active Directory and AD ERP sync. You're interested in changes there. What specifically? You're probably interested in some of the horrifying performance issues in that area. There are some improvements there, but there are certainly some issues left behind. I forget exactly how far the fixes went. The dev that we had working on that, I believe he did introduce some improvements, but I'm not quite sure how far he was able to go. This is an area that we continue to look at in Project Online specifically because we know that a lot of people are doing federated Active Directory. Oh, I didn't say file size optimization. I said file save optimizations, and that was intra-server communication. So as far as saving offline and for sharing between 2013 and 2010, I don't pretend to be an expert on that just because I don't work in Project Professional very much. But no, one of the ongoing complaints that we have is that saving and publishing projects from Project Professional to Project Server and then moving the data around in Project Server is very expensive from a performance point of view, from a SQL Server I/O point of view, and we've done a couple of things here and there to try and trim some of the fat. The question was having to use compatibility mode in Internet Explorer to get PWA to work.
No, it worked, but there was IE 11. So like they would go into, I can't remember even what view it was.
Center, like, added page, number pages.
Wow, that is actually news to me. No, but that sounds like the kind of thing that I'd hope would be reported by now. So maybe an upcoming CU, please. So. Any other questions? Yes. Okay, so the web front end does not host the queue. The question was, you've noticed that in your applications that you're writing, that you're having problems with requests that need to produce queue jobs and then wait for the queue jobs to process. There haven't been many changes to that with regard to public APIs. The one thing that I am aware of as far as large features go is just that the actual end user usage of timesheets, we actually took some of that out of the queue because we observed that they were between putting the job in the queue and pulling the job out of the queue and processing the job and all the other stuff for a typical timesheet save or submit, that oftentimes they were running things through our own security checks and spending more time in those than actually processing the job, and that it would have been just cheaper to do it in the first place. But as far as actual APIs that we encourage for programmability, I'm not sure of any such changes affecting that. That may be a good like long-term thing that we should be working on, though, and to an extent, we are.
So in 2013, all the ways collapsed into one.
Yes. I covered this at the beginning of the presentation, but to recap, the main reason that we moved from four databases to one in 2013 was ease of administration and greater scalability in terms of being able to create a large number of PWA instances on a single SQL server for the sake of database mirroring. It was basically to make things easier to manage in these massive cases where you're trying to host hundreds of PWA instances. You've observed that the file size is smaller?
Yeah, because there's some system tables and stuff that you no longer need. So the actual database size is
actually
smaller. Yeah. And there are some performance improvements as well. The chatting is reduced on the SQL side, but the calls will only have to go out.
Yes, sir.
You spoke about the gap change in the PWA. Changes or improvements have been
made? You're curious about the calculation service? Okay, so it used to be that in, and I'm not the expert on this, but I can at least cover the general idea. It used to be that in PWA in general, and I mean Project Server in general, whenever we needed to calculate things related to a schedule, we had a scheduling engine that was written entirely in managed code, completely different code base from Project Professional, that we used to calculate the schedule. The problem that we ran into, among many others, was that sometimes it produced results that were dissimilar from what people were getting with Project Professional. So sometimes somebody would do something with Project Professional, somebody else would do something with PWA, and the results wouldn't agree, things wouldn't line up, data would move when it shouldn't, things would change when they shouldn't, so on and so forth. So what they decided to do was basically strip all of the UI off of Project Professional and create a version of it that could effectively almost run as a service. And then they have, and those are just headless processes that are then handled by a management service called the Project Server Calculation Service that basically handles some of the, and you'll see this actually, I think, if you do a dev dashboard trace, you can see that the service itself handles opening up the project and all the other stuff. It then sends the data over almost kind of like an MPP file over to the individual SCED engine workers, and then the workers handle the scheduling operations after that. So that's sort of the long and short of it. So you can almost think of it as a bunch of little copies of Project Professional with most of the UI stuff taken off running on your server. It's an oversimplification, but it's close enough. Performance on extremely large lookup tables in which specific cases?
In the case of, let's say, Project Server 2010, a lookup table that goes to, let's say, 2,000 entries versus 2013.
I'm not aware of any specific optimizations for that, but I could be mistaken. So if anybody has any other questions, feel free to ask.
Question about scalability. So in case we started with a small server file, and later on added more database server, because now we have everything in one place, would that be scalable, easy to do?
In what sense are you curious about scalability?
Because now we have more on one server instead of two servers.
Aside from the fact that we hang a whole bunch of databases everywhere, it should be pretty much the same as any other SharePoint application. Okay. Well, if anybody has any other questions that they didn't want to ask to the larger audience, if you want to pester me afterwards, that's fine too.